Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Get involved in the conversation. Text the First Advantage. Text line 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, you can text KFKA to that number, and we'll get you going. What are the Nuggets going to do tonight in the NBA draft? I mean, they're drafting at number 26, so rumor is they're trying to move up and get into the top, or I guess move down into the top 20. Which, I mean, again, the Nuggets, in their draft history, they've been pretty good. They're pretty methodical. They don't get too aggressive. They kind of let things come to them, and it's paid off the last few years.
I would agree. I think there's a lot of good young talent on this team. I wonder if they're going to wait for a commercial to send their pick in.
I put that out on Instagram. The night that changed it all. What was that? What kind of was that? The cheesy
gordita crunch.
The cheesy gordita crunch is when we saw Nikola Jokic's name announced. Arguably, well, the best draft pick the Nuggets have. I think he's the best player already in Nuggets history.
Oh yeah.
So yes, he's the best Nuggets draft pick because Alex English wasn't drafted by Denver. So he's the best draft pick they've ever had, right? I mean, they drafted Dikembe Mutombo, but there's some names on the list. Melo is certainly up there. But Joker to me is but look at this over the years. In that first round, not even the first round. Let's talk about the first and second rounds. Zeke Nagy, we'll see how he pans out. Michael Porter Jr. last year. The 2016, sorry, with the Jamal Murray pickup. So I mean that was a big pick, and that they didn't need Jamal Murray at that point. They had Emmanuel Mudiay, who they drafted the year before that, and they thought, okay, we think he's going to be our point guard. We've got to see some growth here. But Murray was available to them at number 7, so they went in, and they picked him up. And then it worked out, and then Mudiay was... I was really rooting for that guy. He just couldn't get the shot down. Not a great shooter. You know, not loose with the ball, and you can't have your point guard at that point. So you got Murray in 2016. And as we said, 15 was the Emmanuel Mudiay pick. Joker was in 2014 with that second pick, number 41 overall. So this team has had a pretty rich history recently of guys they didn't necessarily need, but ended up being the focal points of their team. They didn't necessarily need Michael Porter Jr. when they drafted him. It's just he fell to 14 because of his injuries. The Nuggets were like, we're in a position where we can take a risk and we can pick him up. What will be, to me, what's so intriguing about the draft tonight is the Nuggets aren't at that position anymore, I don't think. The depth isn't as strong as it's been over the years. And if Will Barton decides to move on, then it becomes even less so. Jamal Murray being out for probably 70%, 75% of the season. So they're not very deep anymore. So this draft, even though you're at 26, is a little more important. Even though a lot of those other picks, like Murray was 7, Mudiay was 7, Porter was 14. This has some importance on what the future looks like for your basketball team. Not the immediate future. Odds are that rookie, unless they get a guard, that guard might play a lot because of their situation with Barton and Murray. But, you know, I'm looking at this list here, and you know, other than the top, what, 4 guys in the draft, I look at them and say, okay, they were all pretty good in college. How will that translate? How will that transition? I know I'm looking in the second round. I'm curious if CU's McKinley Wright will get drafted. I wouldn't mind seeing the Nuggets take him in the second round, or will he get drafted? There was a point in his career where I thought, all right, he's going to be drafted early, second round, maybe even first rounder, but I'm not sure. And again, the NBA is just such a tricky beast because it's 2 rounds, way different than the 465 rounds in baseball. Hockey's draft is like the one nobody ever hears about. And then, of course, the NFL with their 7. So, yeah, I mean, you're hearing a lot of different rumors as far as what they should do tonight. Will they actually move up? What would that... What would that look like? Auburn's Sharif Cooper's the name that I keep hearing. That keeps popping up on the guard side. Let's just talk positions. Let's not even talk players. Do they go guard or do they go power forward? Jamichael Green didn't re-up. He's going to be free. He could come back, but Jamichael Green's gone. Paul Millsap's probably done, right? Unless he's willing to do it for like $1 million or two. I don't know. He was at
Sandwich or something.
Yeah, man. He was at 10 last year, from 30 to 10. Can he go from 10 to 4 this year? So you're looking at the roster, and suddenly it's pretty scarce, isn't it? I mean, it's at the forward position and the guard position.
I think there's a gap between your starters, your bench, and your young guys that haven't had that chance yet. So there's some spots you got to fill in, and maybe we get some rookies tonight.
Yeah, and that you can kind of roll out early and see what they're about, see if they have any, you know, something that strikes you throughout the first portion of the season. But, you know, Gordon you have for the year. So your starting lineup should look like this right now with Joker, with Gordon at 4, Michael Porter Jr. at 3. If Bart, and I'm just counting Barton out at this point. I don't see it happening. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to do a 3-year deal for 14 a year. They're going to do a 2-year deal for maybe 16, maybe a little higher, but I think he's on one of his last contracts. So he wants to get a 3-4-5-year deal probably. I don't see Denver doing it. So at 2, who are you starting? Are you going? You're going Monte Morris starting at 1, right?
Well, hey, he just got his eyes fixed today.
Which actually is fairly significant.
Yeah,
he got the LASIK, right?
Yeah, he just posted like 1 minute ago. Surgery went great.
So was he wearing contacts last year, or was he not wearing anything? I mean that's a big impact.
There's a good answer and a bad answer. There.
That's true. But that's an impact there. If he wasn't wearing any kind of contact lenses. I mean, that changes how he's shot completely. So, is he starting at 1? Who's going at number 2? Is it P.J. Dozier?
Do you bring a guy like Rivers back in?
That's the thing. I mean, do you bring Rivers back in because you're not starting a rookie unless you were drafting in the top 4? You're not at that. They're not going to draft a guy that's an immediate starter. So, do you bring Rivers back at, I don't know, $1 million? He got paid about $200,000 last year and played in how many games? 20?
Well, did they sign him to a 10-day first?
Yeah, and then they upped him up, yeah. Re-upped him. So do you sign him to a short-term deal? Just a 1-year deal. I mean, I actually would, but that's just because if Jamal Murray were healthy, I'd say farewell. But, you know, Faku Campazzo, you love him, but he's not a starter. I mean, at least I don't think. Maybe he could become that, but he's 30 years old. He's fun to watch, but this is going to be a fun but short ride for Faku. I mean, 4 or 5 years, if that?
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see it, though. You got Marcus Howard, who took some strides. So you're not going to start him, though, but he's going to get some more minutes, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I think it'll be just watching the guards. The first few months of the year, see who kind of takes that starting job until Murray comes back, and then who comes off the bench.
So maybe you do draft a guard. What's more important right now, your guard depth or your forward depth? Because at forward, you're looking at Gordon. Is that it? I mean, as far as the forwards go, you're pretty lean there, especially because of Jamichael Green. Boy, I bet you wish Plumlee was back on this team, right?
I was saying that in the playoffs. Like, we need a guy that can come in and sub for Joker.
Well, that's the other thing. Do you look for a backup for Joker? Because is it JaVale McGee? Is it Bol Bol? Are we going to see Bol Bol pan out ever? Because we never see him unless the Nuggets are up by 172.
Right. I mean, I hope so. There's so much hype around Bol Bol. Every time he comes in, the crowd goes nuts. The announcers are just salivating. He's a talent. He's a mystery, though.
I guess you got Zeke Nagy who could play power forward, but
small lineup there. But
yeah, I mean, because look at this. I'm looking at the Nuggets depth chart, and this is obviously with contracts not taken account and opt outs and stuff. It's Aaron Gordon. Jamichael Green is number 1, and he just as his backup, and he just opted out. Paul Millsap, who is a free agent. Porter's listed as a power forward. He can play. He can play basketball. I mean, you can, if you're 6'8", 6'9", 7 foot.
Well, the Nuggets are interesting because Jokic will play the one sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. The positions don't matter as much. It's more of the height. Zeke Nnaji, could he play at power forward? So that's, and then you look at guard. You know, you got Monte Morris, Facu Campazzo, Marcus Howard, and then do you keep, because Howard, you got to get a contract done too, but that's not going to be a lot. Austin Rivers. I would take, if I don't draft one tonight, I'm taking Austin. I would re-up Austin Rivers at this point. And again, talking guards, we're assuming Will Barton's gone. So who's starting at number two at this stage? PJ Dozier probably would be the guy, right? So you're looking at a starting lineup of Monte Morris with Facu as his backup, and then Marcus Howard, and then PJ Dozier at two, Porter, Gordon, and Nikola Jokic. It's kind of a scary, like, unless Porter is a 25-point guy every night, well, how good is Denver going to be until Jamal Murray gets back?
Right, and even when he comes back, how good is Jamal? How good is his knee? Can it hold up? We'll see.
Yeah, no question about it. First Advantage text line. He said, Chris says we should reach out to a Trib person for the Trib. We got Jerry Schimmel going to be covering the Bears this year,
Jerry, man.
Got the Shiminator, man. We're going to, looking forward to having him broadcast the games this year.
That's going to be fun.
Now, we have a great connection with UNC. But thanks for the tip, you said, Chris. But we're pretty tight with the Bears, home of the Ed McCaffrey Coaches Show, by the way. 1310 KFKA. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I don't know. Suddenly you're looking at the draft tonight for the Nuggets, and you are wondering if maybe a guy does get to make an immediate impact, but that's more so out of necessity, I suppose. All right, we're going to take a short break, 17 minutes after the hour. We're talking to Cody Rourke coming up next. Let's get what's going on at training camp from him at Broncos training camp. It's all the rage, the quarterback battle. Who's winning the day today? We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. First Advantage text line again, 970-478-1301. Thanks to Tilted Barrel. We got some new shirts, by the way. It's called Get Tilted. I love Tilted Barrel and Loveland. I put their wings, I would put them up against B-dubs, man. I'm telling you, they're that good. Seriously. You got to try. You're intrigued now, aren't you?
I am intrigued. You bring B-dubs into that.
Because you try these wings and they're just ridiculous. They got TVs everywhere. They are Tilted Barrel in Loveland. They got a happy hour from 2 to 6. So in about 30 minutes, that thing starts. Features half-price appetizers and $5 well wine or draft drinks. They support local breweries, so you're sure to find something local. There are also 40 different whiskeys in case you're not in the mood for a brewski. Tilted Barrel in Loveland. They also do delivery to your door. They'll do DoorDash, Grubhub. Give them a buzz, 970-619-8950 for pickup or Tilted Barrel delivery. Again, that First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. And we're deep into the training camp here. I saw John Elway tweeted this morning, "Hey, it's training camp time for the Broncos." It's like, well, it was yesterday. but that's the way it goes, man. This is all the rage right now, getting into it. It's nuts. It's an exciting time. And I'm looking forward to seeing who wins this quarterback competition. Efforting Cody Rourke at this point, but can't seem to reach him. Cody Rourke is one of our many Broncos insiders on this show. A Denver guy that we can get a hold of and kind of give us the rundown on all things Broncos. But it was reported that somebody threw an interception today. and it was Brett Rypien. So there goes Brett Rypien's hopes and dreams and his career and everything. He's the guy to throw the pick. It's interesting, man. There's never been a training camp quite like this. Even when Peyton Manning was here, there was coverage of Manning, but it wasn't like every single play. It was more or less just about Manning. This is, we are analyzing everything. And it's great. I mean, you're getting that excellent content, I suppose, but it's this training camp. I mean, we are very much intrigued by what's going down. Cody Rourke joining us now, great friend of the show, Broncos analyst and Locked On Network podcast director of video content for Pro Football Network. Cody, my friend, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Always, Brady. Thank you so much for having me, man. Exciting that football is back. I know we've been waiting for this for quite some time, but here we are.
Well, and we're knee deep now, man. We're in this quarterback battle. We are, for better or worse, it's Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. What are you seeing so far? I know we are at this point in training camp. We're going to analyze everything on this side. Did we lose you, Cody? I think we lost Cody. So let's try to. Let's call him back. Bad service, whatever. We'll see if we can get him back on the show. I want to get his thoughts. I want to get his take on what he's seeing on the quarterback side of things. Because Cody's one of those guys, man, where he studies film. He is a deep film gym rat, so to speak. He gets after it. So Cody's back on with us. Cody, my friend, I was just getting ready to ask you your thoughts so far as we're in the second day of training camp on the quarterback battle.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, service for some reason is very spotty where I'm at, so I apologize for dropping out there. But, yeah, in terms of quarterback, you know, I think through the first 2 days, it's been encouraging that, you know, Drew or Teddy, they haven't thrown a pick. Obviously, you're going to see different people, you know, have different opinions as to maybe who had the better day. But I think right now both quarterbacks, you know, they're making the necessary reads right now with the new offense, getting everything going, getting a little more acclimated under Pat Shurmur here in year two. I do think that you can't read too much into it yet. And one thing is the practice against your own teammates. The pads aren't even on yet. And quarterbacks are never going to be touched. So I think the first real evaluation point as to maybe how to gauge how these quarterbacks might do in live fire is going to be when you practice against the Minnesota Vikings in a week and a half.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's when maybe hopefully we get a little bit closer to getting some real evaluation there. When do you think a decision will be made, Cody? Do you think Vic, I mean, again, he's 50-50, throw the coin up, all that, but do you have a guess as far as a timeline?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, it's a little bit after the third preseason game. I think you want to have as much data as possible. You know, Vic kind of alluded to that on Tuesday regarding all the different options that the Broncos might have with the preseason. You know, you only get 3 games rather than 4, so you have to be really creative with how you maybe manage those reps, and it's a challenge because you want each guy to get ample time with the first team offensive line, the first team wide receiving unit, running back, so on and so forth, but how many reps do you play a lot of your starters in? That's the hard part about having a quarterback competition when that's really the only position there's truly up for grabs right now that's the most defining on the offensive side of the ball. So I wouldn't be surprised, Brady, if it takes the, you know, leading up to the week of the game. I think after the preseason game, number 3, against the Rams, I think we'll have an answer that week.
When you're looking at Drew Lock specifically, let's go there first. Do you see anything? Have you noticed anything different about the guy? We saw a couple of posts yesterday, you know, as far as the weight and everything there. But what is he carrying himself different? Does he sound more, I don't know, maybe more in control? Or what are your thoughts there as far as his outward appearance, both on the field and just kind of talking to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to kind of gauge necessarily. But, yes, I do agree with you. He looks thicker. He mentioned that he was playing at 218 last year. He had the shoulder injury, and he felt like that was an issue for him. Now he's at 230 pounds. He looks like a nice, sizable, bulked-up guy. Like, we're not talking about, like, thick, but also he's just more – he's got a muscular build, which I think will be good for him. It creates, I think, a little bit more durability. We saw Josh Allen, obviously, his size and his stature as a quarterback is great. We know Drew has a big arm. So I think it bodes well for him. He can maybe play stronger this year. But just in terms of his demeanor, his body language, I mean, he seems really laid back, and he just seems focused. And I think that's really just been the approach he's taken this offseason, is really shutting all the noise out because he has to deal with all of us in the media, you know, week in and week out, or even in the offseason, just talking about, hey, who's going to be the quarterback? And that's what we were, you know, having that discussion on. But he seems like he's not really too focused on that. and he's more focused on, you know, going through the motions here, trying to make the most of the reps that he gets as possible.
We're talking to Cody Rourke, Pro Football Network. What else sticks out to you when you're looking there? You know, the running back side's interesting as well. Melvin Gordon, you know, right now probably the guy, but you look at Javonte Williams, Mike Boone certainly in that list, on down the line, I suppose, Royce Freeman. But I'm intrigued by the running back. Is there kind of a true running back competition, or is this Melvin Gordon's job to lose?
I think this is Gordon's job to lose. Now, I do think that even if Melvin Gordon is the primary starter, I think you're going to see a lot more carries from Javonte Williams this year. Now, one thing we've seen is he's already been acclimated a little bit in terms of being a receiver out of the backfield, getting involved in some of those pass reps with these quarterbacks. Outside of that, I mean, I think this is a running back room right now. Everyone looks decent. You know, the real test is going to come when you throw the pads on, though. So right now what we're seeing a lot of running backs bounce in between the tackles, you know, with shells, with just a helmet, jersey, and shorts. Some contact, but not too much. But it is much different than what we saw at mandatory minicamp, where there was no contact allowed at all. The offensive linemen couldn't engage with D-line. So now you're starting to see that a little bit, and you're starting to see guys' vision a little bit. But I think that for a guy like Javonte Williams, I mean, he's evidently drafted to be the future of this franchise. And this is a big year for Melvin Gordon, who wants a contract extension. I think that you're going to see a really good 1-2 punch with those two guys.
What are you seeing, speaking of the run game, on the offensive line? We know we're kind of set with most of the positions, left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, but who's it going to be at that right tackle spot? Who's getting the nod right now?
It's been Calvin Anderson, at least through the first 2 days. Day one, day two, Calvin Anderson has been the guy that's gotten the first reps with the starting offensive line, with the ones there. There's going to be a rotation of Bobby Massey, Cam Fleming, and Quinn Bailey, but right now, Calvin has been the guy that's kind of taken it by the reins a little bit here, and that's something that Vic Fangio even threw out, you know, the other day at his press conference, the media barbecue. He said, "Hey, Calvin Anderson's not a guy to sleep on." He brought that up. Nobody else brought it up. He brought that up. So it goes to show that the organization internally, they view him highly. Now, in my opinion, we talked about Melvin Gordon that being his job to lose. I think for Calvin Anderson, the right tackle job is his to lose. I think that he's in a really good position to be that guy this year. Mike Munchak has had him stashed away on this roster for the last two seasons, and now it's time to unleash him.
Boy, and if he can figure it out, I mean, two, 3 years ago, we're saying, man, this offensive line, it doesn't matter who you throw back there at quarterback when the line's struggling like this. But if you can get a Calvin Anderson to really click with the rest of this group, you could, is it crazy to say you could have at least one of the top five offensive lines in the league?
Well, you have to hope so. I mean, they were a much more improved offensive unit last year, Brady. Now, outside of that, the issue that I think a lot of people run into is they look at the overall product. The offense, they went away from running the football as much as they could. And when you find yourself down in the game, your ability to run the ball more goes out the window, especially if you're down by two scores. You have to throw that out of your playbook a little bit, specifically in that second quarter. So I think for the Broncos' identity, Brady, and I've said it, they need to embrace it. They need to identify themselves offensively as being that emphasizes running the football, and then it sets up the passing game. I think that's the one way that the Broncos offense will truly take the next step here in 2021.
All right, Cody. So what I mean, like you said, man, there's so many things as far as, all right, we're not going to be able to really evaluate a whole heck of a lot until we get pads on and more action there. But what are there a few things that really stuck out to you where you thought, man, I'm really impressed with that guy, or I'm shocked? And again, we're talking a day and a half here. But what has kind of stuck out to you other than the quarterback side of things?
Oh, Justin Sternott looks as big as advertised. He looks athletic as an inside linebacker. I expect big things from him this upcoming season. You know, some other guys that have looked good that have impressed. Trinity Benson had a good day in day one, having two touchdown receptions. But the Broncos are rotating in a bunch of guys. Then I'll say today, the Broncos, they had both Eric Sauber and Albert Okwuegbunam in on 12 personnel with the first team unit, rotating in and seeing how they did. And I like it. I mean, it shows you have a guy that can catch passes. Sauber's been a guy that has caught several passes so far in Broncos camp. So we might actually be able to see a little bit more out of this tight end room, specifically as that tight end three position is really up for grabs between four players right now. And that's going to be an exciting one to watch that not many people are talking about.
And Justin Sternad's the interesting one, too, going back to your first point. Does he have a chance to move into more of a starting role there? Are they pretty set with Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson?
Well, you know, there's other reasons at task here. I wouldn't be surprised if Sternad maybe moved in and became a starter at some point this season. Is it going to happen right now? Probably not. The only way I could ever see that happening is if Alexander Johnson was, or Josie Jewell, if one of those two were a surprise training camp release when roster cuts were to happen. I don't think that's the case because they're the starters from last year. They know the defense. They're more acclimated to it. I would be completely shocked. So I think that he'll be more of a rotational role inside the diamond and nickel, which, look, the Broncos, I think they have so much personnel right now, Brady. They can mix and match and get a multitude of guys in while, you know, having the best 11 on the field. I think that last year the Broncos, in passing situations, I think having a guy like Alexander Johnson or Josie Jewell in wasn't the best for the passing situations, right? But now you have a guy in Sternat who can do that. Heck, you can even take a linebacker off. You can put Patrick Surtain as an inside backer in one of those dime package situations in a passing down. You can do so much, and the Broncos have so many DBs. Vic Fangio, he's got his hands full, but in a good way.
We're talking to Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network. That's what I'm so interested to see, Cody, is the defensive side. And Vic maybe creating something that other coaches look at and say, hey, we're going all cornerbacks, man. We're not even messing with the linebacker on some of these positions. They certainly have the personnel to do that.
Yes, they do, and it's a good problem to have. I also think, too, on the back end, in terms of safety, I think you have to have, you know, some legit depth there. I think the Broncos, they got Trey Marshall, P.J. Locke, they got Caden Stearns, Jamar Johnson set to return to the team soon, coming off the COVID list in the next week and a half. That's the expectation. Denver's got depth there, and Vic had told me in the offseason when I asked him about guys like P.J. Locke, Trey Marshall, how might they play a role in the Broncos this year? And he says, well, you know, those guys have to play on special teams, and if they can carve out a role for themselves where they're contributing, they're creating a positive impact, it's going to keep their roster spot. So same thing with these, you know, these other young guys, maybe fringe guys that aren't starters. We look at Justin Sternad. He has to be a key special teams guy. The Broncos, they lost Joe Jones this offseason, who was a special teams captain for them. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sternad or Josh Watson have to step up and get that role, and that'll help solidify them as being a safe option on the roster. So a lot of that's going to be important as to how the roster breaks down when the, you know, the team has to go back and initially make some of these cuts.
Cody, one more for you. You mentioned Josh Watson. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the CSU guys, Josh Watson, Warren Jackson. What are the chances? It sounds like Watson's going to be there in the thick of it, but Warren Jackson, even though he was so solid for CSU for a couple of years, this wide receiver room is deep. So what are the chances both of those guys are on the roster to start the season?
Well, you know, with Jackson, I wouldn't expect him to make the active roster pending something really, you know, like a big injury or just some sort of major surprise. Now, the Broncos, they love his size. One thing I could see with Jackson, I could see him being a practice squad player, maybe being a secret weapon for the team at some point. You know, with the practice squad extending from 11 to 16 for the second consecutive year in a row, it gives the Broncos more options, and I think you want to keep some of those guys there. And you maybe reward a guy if he's really giving you a good look in practice. You reward him with some special teams reps. See what he can do. I think that Jackson will be along the lines of being a special teams guy, but I think that Josh Watson, like you mentioned, I think he'll be on the active roster. He'll be one of those two deep behind the inside linebacker position for the starters with Alexander Johnson, Josie Jewell. So I think you'll see it play out in that manner.
Cody, last one. I said last one last time, but I got one more. Aaron Rodgers, can't let you out of here without talking about Rodgers and that interesting press conference. Agree or disagree with it? It was riveting to me. What did you make of some of his comments as far as listing the players the Packers should have offered a contract to or should have offered a better contract to as far as Rodgers being more involved in the recruiting side of things? What's your takeaway from that?
I think, yeah, he's spot on. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like what he said, but he's not lying. And that's the thing. Like, when you look at Peyton Manning when he was with the Broncos, guess what? You had people coming over signing deals with the Broncos for lesser money because they knew they had a chance to win a Super Bowl. And that's what Rodgers was alluding to. I mean, that Packers offense was so damn explosive last year and so talented, coming off of an MVP season. And in a situation, too, where you have to decide whether you want to go for it on fourth down or kick a field goal, that should honestly boil down in that situation to Rodgers. Peyton Manning, you're going to hear it. Monte Ball put out an interesting tweet today that said Peyton was on the headset telling you know, Southern guys in and out, not really listening to Adam Gase on the headset. So you want to give control to quarterbacks that have earned it. Now, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Brady, I don't think anybody can argue he has earned the right, in my opinion, to have that type of input inside the organization. Clearly, the Packers have not done that. There's a mismanagement there, but it's just collaboration. You look at Tom Brady, you know what? Tom Brady has a lot of pull. He had a lot of pull at the Patriots. He has a lot of pull at the Buccaneers. You look at Patrick Mahomes, he has a lot of pull and he has a lot of influence. Dak Prescott has the same influence with the Cowboys. Why isn't Aaron Rodgers in that same conversation? Why doesn't he get that luxury? And I think that's really, when you look at the last two drafts that the Packers have had, it makes a lot of sense that front office is very disorganized from what the player culture you know, how the players view it internally. And that's why you have a lot of players wanting to leave. And that's why Devontae Adams may not return. That's why Aaron Rodgers wants out. So I can't fault Aaron on that.
Cody Rourke, Broncos analyst, Locked On Network, and, of course, director of video content, Pro Football Network, working with Nine News as well. He's all over the place. Man, Cody, you're doing a fantastic job. We love getting your insight to all things NFL, really, but especially on those Denver Broncos. And we'll look forward to catching up with you. What do you have for us, man? What do you got in store for us that we can check out via Twitter or on any of your sites?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Day 2 Broncos training camp recap dropping tomorrow morning, so you can have that just before Day 3 happens. If you were not able to catch Broncos practice, we have a complete recap there. I'll be there over the weekend as well, and we'll be at Broncos camp Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, UCL Training Center. We'll keep you covered on the Locked On Broncos podcast.
You got it, my man. We'll be looking out for it. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you, Brady.
All right. Cody Rourke, Pro Football Network. OCR, check out their website, orthohealth.com, Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They, their sports medicine physicians provide team and game coverage for the Colorado Eagles hockey team, area high schools, and dozens of rodeo competitors, as well as team physicians for Colorado State University's sports teams. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, with locations in Fort Collins, in Greeley, throughout Northern Colorado. We're going to jump out here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Hulls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thanks to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service for being a sponsor of this program. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. The worst case scenario, of course, we all know. It's terrible, losing a family member. The best thing you can do for your family is to take care of all that, because when they're in their absolute worst time, they don't have to worry about that. I've been there before, and it's just so difficult, as most of us know. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Services, 970-330-6824. NFLPA President J.C. Tretter ripped the NFL teams that are forcing their unvaccinated players to wear wristbands, calling it an unnecessary move that publicly shames players. I saw Tampa Bay was making their vaccinated players wear red wristbands, unvaccinated wear yellow wristbands. Cleveland Browns Center said Thursday it's a nonsensical idea. They say they need a differentiator between vaccinated and unvaccinated players. We already have a differentiator. The unvaccinated players need to wear masks. No other sports league uses any sort of scarlet marking or helmet decal or wristband because they know it's not necessary. And the team knows who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. Adam Schefter reported this. So what it really comes down to is the NFL wanted to put a policy in place to try to shame unvaccinated players publicly about their status. Tretter said this, excuse me, he was responding to Adam Schefter's report. Tretter said this of Cleveland, that they want to shame them about their status. It shouldn't be the case because it's unnecessary. We all know who's vaccinated and who's not, and it doesn't need to be a scarlet marking on people's helmets or wrists. Although multiple teams are requiring their unvaccinated players to wear wristbands, the Browns are not among them. We're not dividing the team over this issue, Coach Kevin Stefanski said. Carolina Panthers linebacker Jermaine Carter is among the players who expressed frustration over the league's COVID-19 protocols. That included not being allowed to have contact with his girlfriend and their newborn daughter Thursday at practice. Carter had to stand on the opposite side of a fence about 20 feet from them. Later, he noted in a tweet that he would be allowed to practice in 2 weeks at Indianapolis against one of the least vaccinated teams. Whew. That's some deep stuff, man. That is some deep stuff. He is unvaccinated. He was not allowed to have contact with his girlfriend and their newborn daughter Thursday at practice. Think about what I just said. The sentence that I just said. Not allowed to have contact with their newborn daughter. Had to stand on the opposite side of the fence. Whew, I don't want to get into that right now because we're about done. I get too fired up. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll get to what's on tonight and closing thoughts. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Pro Design Countertop Specialist presents 13 Days, 13 Teams. Preps football training camp coverage begins in August, only in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hall Show, 1310 KFKA.
All I'm going to say, somebody commented on his tweet again. Oh, Jermaine Carter, linebacker for the Panthers. Didn't get to see his newborn. He got to see him, but couldn't go up close to him for like a couple weeks now. He has to stand by the fence and wave his newborn baby. And somebody said, well, if he's vaxxed, why can't he get up close? Because she's vaxxed too. He said, well, you can still get the virus. What? What are we doing here, bro? What is going on? A grown man can't go up. Grown man doesn't need to be a grown man. A person can't go up and see that person's spouse and newborn baby up close and give them a kiss on the head, even if they're vaccinated, even if they're not, whatever.
His own flesh and blood.
Your own flesh and blood. Dude, you know how much snot and everything? I have a 3-year-old, you know? You know how much stuff has been all over me? It's just part of... Oh, my. That I'm not going to get... I wasn't going to get mad.
But save it for tomorrow.
When you start seeing this stuff, though, dude, it's like, what? And then somebody said, well, he's not vaxxed. And it's like, I don't really know. And why is that? And not to get political. That shouldn't be political. This whole thing shouldn't be political.
The fact that we know which players aren't and are vaccinated is so unnecessary.
It's so ridiculous,
that's
man.
Not our business.
No. It's how common is it now? Seriously, dude, I was out one day. And I was getting my haircut, and it wasn't in Greeley. It was outside of Greeley. I was getting my haircut, and the barber said, so what vaccination did you get? Like, is that a question that we do now?
It's a casual question now.
Right.
And if you don't answer it, suspicion.
Yeah. Oh, rebel, cowboy. Crazy, man. 54 minutes after the hour, first to finish, text line 970-478-1301. Closing thoughts for me. I'm okay with Rodgers having some say with the quarterback's coach and the head coach even a little bit, some say. But I don't know that I'm into these whole, I filled out recruiting reports for you to check out and all that. Because that's what he wants. I don't think I'm there with him. But I'm not against it either. I'm just saying it shouldn't be expected. I'm shocked that it became, that's the reason why he wants out. But, yeah, Big 12, some big accusations, my friend, that ESPN's been trying to cripple that conference for a while so that it would dissolve. This is going to be interesting. Broncos camp, CSU, UNCC, you getting ready to go to camp, NBA draft coming up. Oh, my goodness. So much to talk about, so little time. Good night, Northern Colorado.